Open your Bibles to Psalm 103. We want to read a few verses here this morning, and we'll be dismissed in 26 minutes and 53 seconds. In my opinion, of all of the verses or chapters in the Bible, Psalm 103 is the go-to scripture to be reminded of the goodness of God. That's the chapter that speaks loud and clear to how great God is to all of us. Think back the last day you had any discouragement or perhaps a battle with depression. The cure for that instantly would have been going back to Psalm 103 and being reminded. It's a refresher course every time we revisit this chapter of how good God is. Our God is in fact greater than any other God. Now this past week, in fact over the course of 3 days, within 72 hours, the world was shocked yet again by not one but two terrorist attacks. Let's be clear, these terrorists do not know our God. Everything they do in the name of another God. They are clueless about the goodness of God Jehovah. They know nothing of Him. They put their faith, pitifully and as puny as it is, in their God whose name is Allah. And in these two occasions, terror attacks this week, as well as practically every terrorist attack that's ever been by Islamic extremists, they go into their rampage of murder saying in the Arabic language, Allahu Akbar, which means Allah is great. And then they kill people. Imagine it. Foreign to us. They are declaring as they begin shooting people for their God Allah, that Allah is great. It's time for the church to let the world know our God is greater. This term in Arabic, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. It's the national anthem of the nation Libya, which is an Islamic state, or at least it was until 2011 when the government changed there. Also, Allahu Akbar is the name of a range of mountains in Turkey. Can you believe it? People who worship another god wake up in the mornings, look at a beautiful range of mountains and say, Allah is great when they see it. Also, this phrase, Allah is great, is the name of a rural district in the nation of Iran, which is another Islamic state. In 1977, one of the big movies in the history of India was released in that nation with the name of the movie, Allah is great, in the Arabic language. But it's time the world knows that our God is greater. And in Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1, very familiar scripture, it begins like this, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who heals, getting the cart before the horse. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Our God is that good. Our God is greater. Quickly, we'll look just at a few phrases here. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's not the spirit, it's the soul. Once you have faith in Christ and you declare your faith, your submission to the Lordship of Jesus, your spirit has a new birth. Your spirit is born again. Your spirit is as saved as it will ever be. Saved to the uttermost. But your soul is the part of you that must be retrained to think differently, to think according to God's word, the truth. Your soul, which is your will, your emotional life, your mindset, your pattern of thinking, and especially the thoughts of the mind. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sometimes we have to tell our soul or our mind or our will or our emotions how to behave and what to do. David says, I will tell my mind, my will, my emotions. I will direct and instruct my mind, my soul. Soul, bless the Lord. And he tells us why. Because we should not forget his benefits. Now on that one, we're all indicted. We're all guilty. How soon we forget the blessings and the goodness of God. God had shown the children of Israel astounding signs of his might and his power. They were running from an enemy with their life on the line. And they were trapped at the Red Sea. And they looked behind them and the enemy was getting closer and closer and closer until time was running out. They were about to be killed, everyone, by an enemy when God parted the Red Sea and let his children walk through it on dry ground. That's not the end of the story. That would have been good enough. But as soon as God's people were in the clear, they were rescued and delivered from an enemy. And then the enemy thought, you know, they're not, their God is not as great as ours. The enemy thought, well, we can do it too. So they charged through the dry ground that had been the Red Sea, but when they were in the middle of it, God caused the waters. So not only did our God prove to be greater because he parted the Red Sea and saved his own, but he also proved to be greater by killing the enemy of his people. And so God had shown the children of Israel things like this. God had shown the children of Israel daily wonders in the wilderness. They never got hungry. They were fed from heaven. They never got thirsty. When there was no water, he caused it to come from a rock. They never got too hot. And today, 97 in Florence with a heat index of 106. God, thank you for the memory and the history that our ancestors never got this hot. There was a cloud like an air conditioning cooling them. And you know, we're even more blessed than that. We have a thermostat on the wall. We control it. So stay inside and stay cool. And then he warmed them up with a pillar of fire when it got a little chilly on those cold nights. But how quickly they forgot. It's like they were stricken with amnesia. They forgot the benefits. The last day you were discouraged, it is because you forgot the benefits. How soon we forget. Psalm 78 and verse 42 said, they did not remember his power the day he redeemed them from the enemy. How quickly we lose appreciation for what God has done for us. Last year, last month, last week, yesterday, 30 minutes ago. How quickly we lose appreciation for all of the benefits God gives to us. And the children of Israel were even more guilty than that. It says in Hebrews 3:10 that instead of giving God glory, they gave him grief. I was grieved with that generation and said, they always err in their hearts. So point number one is, let's forget not the many benefits. Our God is greater. And then this passage says he forgives all our iniquities. Now, I've been guilty of sin, as have you. I'm not sure if this is your experience, but there have been times in my life that one sin, probably this is your story too, just one sin was almost unbearably heavy. Did you feel in your spirit ever when you committed a sin, whenever you fell short, missed the mark? And that's what sin means in the Greek language, to miss the mark. The Bible says all have sinned and missed the mark. Do you know what it's like in your spirit because of one, just one sin, to feel like just bowing over like this, just, oh, I just cannot stand up straight. The weight of one sin is so heavy. Anybody know what that's like? Am I at the right place this morning? But God sent his son Jesus to take that weight. Not just the one sin that bent us over in shame. Just the weight of one. But he withheld and stood up under the weight of every single sin that ever has been or ever will be committed. And because of what Jesus did, God is so good that he forgives all our iniquities. I can say it like this, and so can you. Not because of anything I've done or anything you've done, but because of this truth, he forgives our iniquities. I can say this: God treats me like I've never sinned. That's his posture toward you. Now, he's not going to treat you like that old brute that some have an image of a god in the sky with a hammer or a club in his hand just waiting for the chance to pounce and beat the hell out of you. That's not our great God. He forgives all. He treats me as though I've never sinned. Psalm 103 and verse 10. Good news for us. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. That's a great place to say amen. Amen. We need to get some teleprompters up here for me. Every now and then I'll turn it around to let you know when a good amen. He's not punished you according to your sin. Why? Because one of the benefits that we should not forget is he forgives all our iniquities. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. In the century when those words were written in Scripture, that phrase, as far from the east is to the west, was a reference. It meant unlimited. There's no way to measure it. It's inexhaustible. It was not simply from point A over there to point B way over there. It was an expression that meant there's no end at all to it. As far as the east is from the west, God forgives our iniquities. The Message translation says, as far as sunrise is from sunset. He has separated us from our sins. Here's the way it works at Carl's house. Carl gets up in the morning before the sun comes up. Carl gets a cup of coffee. Carl drinks it. Carl gets another cup of coffee. About that time, Carl goes out the door to get the paper out the box. And the sun is barely coming up. And I can look way over there and see the sun coming up. Way over there. That's the sunrise way over there in the east. Then at night, Carl comes home, and Carl looks for the sun, and the sun is nowhere near the east at all. If Carl wants to find the sun at sunset, Carl has to look in the exact opposite direction because the sun going down way over there. and every day at sunrise and sunset, it's a biblical reminder of how far removed our sins have been from us, as far as the east is from the west. One commentator said, God is pursuing us with infinite persistence to forgive us. Now that makes sense to me. When it comes to forgiving our sins, God is infinitely persistent to find us wherever we are and declare forgiveness over our sin because of our faith in Him. And here's why it makes sense to me. God, of all creatures, God is going to get what He paid for. That's how important it is for God to pursue you with infinite persistence to remind you that He's so good to you, He's forgiven you of every sin. Now, I remember one time, and I like to get what I paid for. Don't you like to get what you pay for? One time, 20 plus years ago, I was driving a red Fifth Avenue Chrysler. And it was hot like this. It was the heat of summer, and the air conditioner went out in that car. And I took it as long as I could take it. And I gathered up a little bit of money and said, I'm going to have to go get this air conditioner in my car fixed. I mean, it's hot as well, you know what, out there. And so I did. I took it to a mechanic here in Florence, whose name I won't call. But I paid over $300. This was quite some time, probably be more than that now. But I paid over $300 to get my air conditioning fixed, the compressor. And I got back in the car and left, and it was feeling right nice inside that Chrysler Fifth Avenue. The air conditioner working just fine, but about 2 days later, it was just as hot in that car as it had been before I spent $300 to get the problem taken care of. So what did Carl do? Carl drove that hot, as you know what, car back up to that garage in Florence here and went in and said to the owner, I just paid $300 to get my air conditioner fixed. You said you fixed it. That was day before yesterday. It's not fixed. I came back to give you another shot, see if you can get it right this time. And you know why I did that? Because Carl likes to get what he pays for. Why am I talking in third person? I never do this. Have I ever done this? Never. There's a new anointing on me this morning. God. Now, if Carl appreciates getting what he pays for, and if you expect to get what you pay for, how much more does our God expect to get what He pays for? And He paid for our forgiveness. That's how important being in relationship with us is to God. He paid for it. He expects it. He's not going to have it any other way. He's on hot pursuit of each of us to overtake us with His goodness. And He heals our diseases. The Bible says the body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. The Lord is not against health or healing. I'm grateful for my health. Now, there is a question, and I won't belabor this point because I've got six more minutes. That's all right. You don't have to have four-hour services to hear from God. The Bible says the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is quick. Here's a question. It hits home. it hits home to every family here. Why are some not healed? I know. That fact has touched our family too. Why are some not healed? If Jesus suffered stripes on his back for our healing, why are some not healed? I don't have the answer to that, but along with every other question I do not have the answer to, along with every other thing I do not understand, that does not limit my trust in God. When my understanding runs out, my trust carries me the rest of the way. And I will simply say this, I don't know why some are not healed. Neither do I know why some don't accept forgiveness when that's paid for too. But there is not a single disease. Now listen, the Word of God says He heals all your diseases. There is not a single disease God has not healed. Call it out. Leprosy, terminal, there is no cure, but we have record God has cured lepers from leprosy. AIDS, that's the leprosy of our day. There are bona fide, certified testimonies of men and women who had AIDS and God healed them of that disease. Call out any sickness, any disease, and God has healed that disease. And in cancer, which has touched so many in this church family, God has healed cancer. And in fact, let me just say, if you're struggling with cancer or any sickness today, this will encourage you. There are many people in this auditorium right now that are cancer survivors. Just that one disease. If you have ever had cancer, been told by your doctor you had cancer, and you are healed from cancer, it's a former thing. Stand up real quick. This is an opportunity to give God glory. If you've ever had cancer, but you don't anymore. Look at all this. Oh, yeah. Cancer free. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. One of my earliest memories as a little boy is when I had a fever and I was sick. I couldn't have been but 4 or 5. And I remember the fever and how sick I was. And I remember my mother putting her hand on my forehead and saying, "Jesus." And my fever went away instantly. He forgives all. He heals all. He redeems our life from destruction. You never know, I never know how many times God has thwarted the enemy's plan to kill me or to kill you. I have news for you this morning. You want to hear the truth? We have an enemy and you. Your name is on the enemy's kill list. Am I afraid of that? No. Why am I going public with that? Because our God is greater. No fear. Am I preaching fear? No, you better not get any fear out of this. No fear. I'm not peddling fear. But your name is on the enemy's kill list. I saw this news article on Fox News Online yesterday. Americans not always told when named on ISIS kill list. The news is even more comprehensive than that. I heard a news commentator 2 or 3 days ago, since this was a big week for terrorists to do their thing, one commentator said, most terrorists, even on that side of the world, will target locations where Westerners are. And the commentator said, if you are a Westerner, and that would be all of us, you are on their kill list. If you are a Westerner, you are on their kill list. The devil has a kill list. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This past Tuesday at the Istanbul airport, which is the 11th busiest airport in the world. And then 3 days later, this past Friday, in the capital city of Bangladesh at a restaurant. And here's what one eyewitness said in Bangladesh, said these shooters came in, guns pointed to the ceiling, shooting their guns at the ceiling to create fear. That's what the eyewitness said. Entered shooting guns in the air just to create fear. So I'm not selling fear. Our God is greater. We serve a God of faith. We serve a faithful God. Our enemy is the one that's afraid. Psalm 91 says, you shall not be afraid of terror. So no fear. And then another benefit, and we're wrapping up. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies my mouth. One translation says, he satisfies my life with good things. And then David said, he renews my youth like the eagles. Good news to all of us who are getting older, and we all are at the same rate, one day at a time, year after year, he renews our youth. That's why you have no idea I'm 87 years old, because of my renewed youth. The next time I have a birthday, I want it to be my 40th. We'll throw a big 40 birthday right there. But some eagles have lived for over 100 years and look young because of the way their feathers are shed and grow back. I did Google this yesterday. A lot of confusion out there about eagles, separating mythology from fact. And so that's a winding road you might be entertained by if you want to wander through it. But also online, whether it's truth or not, the debate is there. The jury's still out. But at age 40, this is online information. When an eagle turns 40, he renews himself in every way. They're saying talons, beaks, feathers, you know. But those of you who are about to turn 40 or would like to, here's a word for you. He renews my youth like the eagles. And I'll just simply tell you what the Message translation says. And I'm closing with this statement. You are always young in his presence. Stand on your feet real quick or I'm going to keep going. You better stand quick. Some of you are a little slow. You're asking for it. You're always young in his presence. Isn't that good news this morning? So for a benediction, say this out loud with me. I will not forget any of his benefits. Our God is greater. He forgives all my iniquity. He heals all my diseases. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He renews my youth like the eagles. I am always young in his presence. Give the Lord praise before we dismiss this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Take the word of the Lord home with you. We're dismissing now, but we invite all of you who would like to stay for just a few minutes for a very special baby dedication service. Happy July 4th to you. Star. We're going to get this whole family up here. Mom and Daddy and baby, center front. Grandma Kim, don't you go too far. Front and center, Mom and Dad with the rock star here.
I'm representing Aunt Reen, great Aunt Reen. Okay.
Come over here on this side. Oh, yeah. There's a great aunt coming right there. Okay, we've got some more relatives. A great grandmother on the way. A great grandfather coming up. Crowded around the rock star. Slap over here a little bit. Come on in, granddaddy. There we go. Let's tighten up because this picture is getting ready to go around the world. We need some over here on this side. Uh-huh. We've got paparazzi out there. Facebook's going to heat up a little bit. My, what a great family. All of us good looking. Look at this. Something good in the genes. My, my. Thank you all for staying and being a part of a special day to our family. I am now a great uncle. I'm related to all of these people. It's a great day for us. On a light note, the year before Max was born, we got together for Father's Day, and I went up to Josh and I said, by next year this time, on next Father's Day, you're going to be a father. Well, you know, I didn't know I was a prophet. I just didn't. But sure enough, I'm trying to decide now who I want to prophesy over next, but I'll guard myself on that. But Josh, we love you. And Danielle's always been special to our family. And what a gift you are to her. You're a good husband to her. We don't worry about her. How grateful we are for God putting you two together. And then he has blessed your union in many ways, in every way, but in no greater way. This is the number one blessing of God for the two of you as husband and wife together. The gift of a son. The gift of a son. A son is a gift. And this special little boy who's locked eyes with me right now, he won't remember this day. You'll have to tell him about it, and more than tell him, you'll have to show him with your own life as an example the significance of this day. It's the day when the two of you come to God's house and you bring all your family and you're publicly declaring, God, we receive this as a gift. This son is a gift. But just so you know, we're depending on you. We cannot do this without you. You're committing to God today. You're lifting up this son to God today, saying, God, he's really yours. We need the wisdom that's required as a father and a mother to raise him. And our commitment to you, Lord, today is we're going to raise him to be a Christian. And we should say that loud and clear. The Muslims, when they have a baby, they tell that baby as soon as that baby can listen, you're a Muslim. We're all Muslims. You were born a Muslim. You were raised a Muslim. You're going to be a Muslim all your life. Hey, the Jews are the same way. Jews tell their children, as soon as they can understand, you're a Jew, you were born a Jew, you're going to die a Jew, you're a Jew all your life. Hello, we Christians should step up. As soon as this little boy is able to understand, you tell him, you were born in a Christian home. We believe in Jesus. He is the true God, and you will be a Christian. You tell him that until he believes on his own. I mean, our God is greater. Now, when a man and a woman have a baby together, it is more than a natural responsibility. Now, of course, I understand procreation and the biology and the science of all of that. I know how it happens. But in addition to creating a natural baby, the power of a father and a mother in giving birth to a child is the creation of a spirit, not just a body only, but a spirit. So you have created a little baby boy whose spirit is eternal. Oh, that's a heavy responsibility. You're going to need God. You're going to need to know who to call on in times of trouble. And there are so many promises in God's word that sanction what we're doing right now. As soon as you got pregnant, the instant you got, God went to work right then internally. The Bible says, while Max was still in his mother's womb, God was wonderfully and beautifully at work creating him to be exactly who he is. And the Bible says if you will train up a child when they're young, they won't wander off of the path of truth when they're older. So your responsibility has already started, and today is a milestone for you. All of this family, everybody here believers, everybody here love the Lord, everybody, any Muslims in the house? If so, we have security guards. They will tase you. You'll get converted today. Any Christians in this family? Isn't it great to be a Christian family? Here's our newest addition to this great Christian family, Max Lee Allen. Okay, I do pretty good usually. All right, you want to let's go for a catwalk here? Come on. All right, there we are. Here's the paparazzi on the front row. This is Max Lee Allen, son to Josh and Danielle. And he has aunts, uncles, cousins, grandma, granddaddy, great-grandma, great-granddaddy, great-aunt, great-uncle. This is a great thing altogether. I'm going to ask all of you to stand, if you will. Stretch your hands toward little Max and the family that stand together today. Father, thank you for your goodness on display right now. In your goodness, you have blessed Josh and Danielle with a healthy baby boy. He is a gift straight from God into their hearts, their lives, and their home. And today, as a mom and dad, Josh and Danielle bring Max into the house of God for this very special day, where they themselves, as a Christian mom and dad, are saying, Father, he really belongs to you. Thank you for trusting us with him for a short period of time, but let the record show we know he belongs to you. And they're leaning in toward you today, Lord, realizing they're going to need wisdom. They're going to need direction. They're going to need a special anointing as parents to raise Max to know the Lord and to live a life of purpose and destiny. And Lord, even in this prayer, we unlock and we release the destiny of God in this young boy's life. May he grow up and live a long life filled with health and the favor of God, the blessings of God, too numerous to count. We pray that he will be a man of great influence in his generation and to the world. And today in the house of God, we join Josh and Danielle and all of the members of this great family, and we lift up Max Lee Allen to you. And we say, this child belongs to you. And we thank you that his life is dedicated to the worship and the service of the Lord. And we dedicate Max Lee Allen now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and the whole family say, Jesus. And everybody say, amen. And amen. Wow. I did good, don't you think? I think he looks like me a little bit. How sweet is this? What if I'm not ready to give him back? We'll see y'all later. I mean, really, they don't behave this way for me usually. Usually midway, they go to pitching a fit and carry on, but I think he's right fine with his great uncle. Josh and Danielle, we love you. All of this family, we love you. Dusty, thank you for being in this family too and representing Reen so wonderfully. She's with us in spirit today. God bless you. I'll give him back for a while. Thank y'all for being here and thank y'all for staying for this ceremony. Have a great afternoon and a great July 4th. More than anything else.
time.